Luke chapter 16, and I want us to look at verse 24 and verse 25 of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Verse 24 states, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." I want to speak this morning on this subject, an interview from hell. An interview from hell. Let's get some help today. Father, we need you. Father, I pray that you would help me today to be able to deliver this message in the way that you would have it delivered. Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart in this building, those who know not Jesus Christ and those who are saved. God, I pray that you'll do something unusual in our hearts that will be evident in the days to come. We ask now that you'll take me completely out of myself. Give me the fullness of thy Holy Spirit. Father, help me not to say anything you don't want me to say. Please control me. I know, Father, you're not only omniscient, that you're all-knowing, but Father, we know that you are a God who's sovereign. You're in control. So you know what to put into my mind, my heart, and Father, you know how to control me. And I pray, Father, that you would help all of us in this building to have ears to hear, and as Brother Larry has already prayed, Father, a heart to do what is right. Oh God, please take full control now. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. And all the people of God said, amen. An interview from hell. One thing about an interview can be eye-opening. I remember now decades ago, more than two decades, but less than three decades ago, back in the late 1980s, Dr. Jerry Falwell of the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, he took the helm of what was known as the PTL Club. Some of you have probably heard of it. If you don't know what it means, it literally means the Praise the Lord Club. Dr. Jerry Falwell used to pastor, he's in heaven now, but he used to pastor the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. And after Jim Baker fell, he took over the helm of the PTL Club. And I wondered why he would do something like that. You know, his being a Baptist and also at that time a very high-profile Baptist pastor and preacher, because what he did brought some raised eyebrows when he took over the PTL Club. And I did not have the financial means to go to the church and to rent a hotel and to pay for my food and to pay for my gas, etc. Also, I was not able to miss classes because I was there at the school. And also, I was working, and so I was not able to work it out. And I was up front with them. I called the church and spoke and asked this question if I could have an interview. And I was up front. I said, I'm doing a paper in college, and this intrigued me. I want to know why this is happening. And although I did not have the ability to get there, I was still able to get the interview. And you'll see how I'm going to tie this in just a little bit. I did not speak directly with Dr. Jerry Falwell during the interview, but I spoke with a over the phone with his very reliable source, and that was his secretary, and she spoke with me extensively for an extended period of time and answered my questions and gave me information that I did not have before. And once everything was over with, I thanked her, etc. And even though I was not speaking directly to Jerry Falwell, but I was speaking to her there at the church, and she was his mouthpiece. And so she was able to share with me the things that I needed to know and things that I told them I was going to put into a paper, and they allowed it to be. So by the way, he did eventually resign from that. As many of you know, I'm sure you kept up with that. Well, I did type up the paper, and I did turn the paper in when I was in college. And while I was there, the professor, he made a statement, and he said that the paper, and I'm just using his words, he said that the paper was ingenious, is the word that he used. I cannot remember everything that I had in the paper because the paper was long. I got a lot of information, but the whole entire paper was alliterated. If you don't know what alliterated means, it means that you would literally start everything off with a particular letter. And I can remember one part of it that I can remember was the paycheck, the payoff, and the plight. And after everything was over and the paper was submitted, and of course, well, I say of course, but you know, I received a good grade, a good mark on the paper, and the professor was very complimentary of it because it gave a lot of insight into things that the average person would not know. And I told that story for this reason, because I did not get in that interview to speak directly to him for him to answer all of my questions, but he still answered all of my questions because I got to speak to his liaison, his go-between. I was allowed to speak to his secretary, and she had the ability, because she was right in there, she knew everything that was going on, and she had the leeway and the ability to give me that which I needed. Well, today, I cannot speak directly to the rich man that is in hell today. But I do have not a very reliable source. I have an infallible source. A source that makes no mistakes at all. And in case you don't know what that infallible source is the Word of God. And today we will be in the Word of God, and we're going to do an interview from hell today. It will not be a phone interview. It will be an interview as we look directly into the Word of God, and I will call it a Holy Spirit interview because I want the Holy Spirit to communicate some things to us in a renewed way that all of us need. I hope that for some it may be something that is eye-opening to you. We will look at the passage in a way that I trust will shake us up on the inside and yet encourage us to do what we need to do. And we're not looking to write a paper and to receive a grade. We're looking to put this in our lives so that we can receive rewards and others can go to heaven and not hell once we leave this earth and our light on this side is put out. So now I'm not speaking directly to the rich man, but yet I am speaking directly to the rich man. We're going to look at the Word of God, and today I'm going to really be kind of moving in and out of this message, and you'll be able to tell, I think, when I literally am speaking about and to one and digress to myself, an interview from hell. I'm going to ask the question, sir, what do you want to say to us today? Well, what I want to say to you today, number one, death can catch you off guard. Death can catch you off guard. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, down through verse 22. There was a certain rich man, that's me, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I want to ask the rich man this morning, I want you to tell me something that you've learned while you have been in hell. You've already shared something. Can you elaborate on the very fact of how you said that death can catch you off guard? Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Yes, I can. Listen, people probably expected Lazarus to die. Lazarus was full of sores. Lazarus had sickness in his body. Lazarus had the dogs to come to lick his sores. He was sick. People expected him to die. But my death came suddenly. I had it all. I was rich. I was not starving. I had plenty to eat every day. I had the best clothes. I wore purple and fine linen. I had a nice furnished home. I didn't have to sit on a floor in a reclining position like many did when they ate. I had a table that I could sit at and eat. Lazarus would hang around my gate wanting some of the crumbs that would fall from my table. Lazarus' death, it was a shock. No, because he was sick, but I was okay. I thought I had plenty of time. I didn't expect to die. I expected Lazarus to die, but I didn't expect to die. Tell the ones that you're preaching to that death can catch you off guard. I thought I had time. I didn't expect to die. Not this soon. Tell them, preacher. Tell them. Listen to me this morning. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost this morning, listen to me. Death can catch you off guard. It can catch you off guard. One thing about death, death does not discriminate. There are stories I've told you time and time again. I know more stories than I could ever tell, and I only tell them when God gives me the opportunity to tell them. I believe that this is what God is trying to give us today. God is trying to tell us today, whether you are saved or whether you are lost, you think you've got plenty of time. You believe that you do, but your life can end just like that. Listen to me. I spoke with a man. And when I spoke with this man, he told me, and we spoke for 40 minutes on the phone in a different state. This man, he told me about a young man, 14 years of age, which was his nephew. And his nephew was playing with his son. He said, "My sister's son, my nephew, 14 years old, he was like a son to me." And he was playing with his son that day. And he said when he came inside the house, the 14-year-old, his nephew said, "I don't feel good." And they got to the place, said, "We need to get you to the hospital." And so they took him to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, they said he had never had any health issues. They never had to take him to the doctor for any, you know, health issues. You know, sometimes a person may get a fever or something like that, but that's norm. But no health issues, he said, that they knew of. They said they didn't know that he had diabetes. He didn't exhibit any of the symptoms of it. When they took him to the hospital that day, 14 years of age, they said when they took his blood work and came back, they said his blood sugar count was up over 1,700. Anybody who knows anything about blood sugar can understand just how high and how dire that is. I'm gonna cut to the chase. That young man got to the place while he was just there in the hospital to where they had to put him on full code. How many of you in here know what full code is? All right, so a few of you. That means you keep trying to revive the person. Do all that you can to keep that person on this side. They tried to revive that boy 10 times. And finally, the doctor said, "Listen, he's not here. He's gone." That morning, he was okay, fine, outside playing. That afternoon, He's in the hospital fighting for his life, and shortly thereafter, he was dead. Death has no respecter of persons. Death can catch you off guard. Do you know why most lost people won't repent and receive Christ as their Lord and as their Savior? Well, there are several reasons, but one of them is they believe they have plenty of time. You will very seldom find someone that you could walk up to and say, do you believe you're going to die today? Most people say, no, I'm not going to die today. I'm okay. Everything is all right. But see, death comes suddenly. Listen to me. You want to know why so many people today are dying far more suddenly than those who have long lingering illnesses? Because we have, as a nation really in the world, been exposed to more truth than we used to have back then. And my Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen, death has no respecter of persons. Do you know why many Christians will not give God their time, their talent, and their treasures in service to him? They believe they have plenty of time. Most Christians don't think that they're going to die today. Most don't. Because if they did, they would dedicate themselves to God, their service, their life, everything. Most Christians don't walk around with that idea in mind, but death will come quickly. The end of you see it in the word. Hey, this man, Lazarus was sick. No indication about this man being sick. This man was faring sumptuously every day. He had everything. But listen, when you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are times when God will bring death to your life, death to your home, death to your family. Sometimes just to wake us up for service. There was a couple, it's been years ago since I've told this story. There was a couple that was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this couple would never dedicate themselves to God. They would always use their child as an excuse. His name was Timmy. Well, his name was Timothy, but they used to call him Timmy. And so one day, when the preacher wouldn't see him in church, where you been? Well, you know, Timmy wasn't feeling well. Well, you know what? We had to do this with Timmy. You know, we had to do this over here with Timmy. And the preacher tell him, you need to dedicate yourself to God. You need to serve God. You need to get in church and do what's right. Amen. One day, the phone rang. The preacher, I know him. He's ridden in my car before. The phone rang. The preacher went over to this couple's house. And when he walked in, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, has the cruel messenger been here to see you? That's biblical. You check that out. You look at it. I'm not even quoting, but you look it out. Look it up in scripture. He said, has the cruel messenger been sent against you? And they said, yes. They told this story. They said, preacher, we had Timmy. He was outside. We had built a little pup tent for Timothy. We put a light in there so that if he's out there at night and he just, you know, he'll be able to see some things. And they said, Timmy's only 5 years of age, Timmy was, and he unscrewed the light bulb. And he took his finger and stuck it up in the light bulb, and he was electrocuted. That young man died. That couple rededicated their lives to Christ and started serving him. I remember something my pastor used to say. He said, you can use your children as an excuse. He said, but God can take those excuses away from you. See, dedication to the Lord is a serious thing. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said, except a man forsake all that he hath, He cannot be my disciple. Let me tell you something in life. Jesus expects full dedication to him. And the reason why we play with God, and the reason why we don't do what we're supposed to do, the reason why we don't get ourselves in line for those who are lost and repent and receive Christ, or others who are saved, and the reason how come we don't is because we think that we've got plenty of time, and at in some point in time in our lives, we're going to get serious about God. In life, we only have today, not tomorrow. Today, not yesterday. Today. And the scripture says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. We are not to harden our hearts, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. When we hear truth, we have to acquiesce to it. And sometimes that can be the difference between somebody being saved and serving or somebody's last day. And everybody in this building, if the Lord tarries, is coming this night. Or this day thy soul shall be required of thee. One of these days, an interview from hell. Let's continue with our interview. Sir, give me your attention. I need to ask you another question. What else do you want to say to us today? Well, I've already told you that death can catch you off guard, but preacher, here's what I want to say to you. Heaven and hell are actually real. Heaven and hell, preacher, they're actually real. Luke 16:23-25. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I'm still there today, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Oh, I'm trying to tell you, preacher, let him know, heaven and hell are actually real. Lazarus is in heaven today, but I'm still in hell today. Lazarus, he's comforted. I am tormented. I'm not blaming God. I'm here. I realize it now because I wouldn't repent. I knew about repentance. But death caught me off guard. Remember what I told Abraham in verse chapter 16, verse 29, down through verse 31. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Listen, they have Moses and the prophets, preacher, Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. See, I knew the lingo. I knew about repentance. That's why I could tell Abraham, if you send Lazarus back, my brothers would repent. I knew all the church words. I knew how to say the right things. I was a religious person. I wore purple and fine linen. You know from the book of Leviticus that that is religious garb. I was a religious man, but I was lost. If you had talked to me, oh, I know the words, but I'm lost. Heaven is real. Lazarus is comforted. Hell is real. I am tormented in these flames. I heard the word over and over and over again. Moses and the prophets, meant the word. It wasn't Moses who was there. It was and the other prophets. It was the written word of God. Preacher, listen to these scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 25, down through verse 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Preacher, look at Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Moses and the prophets meant the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Acts 28, verse 23 and verse 24. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Moses and the prophets, preacher, meant the word of God. I am one of the individuals that heard the word, but I didn't believe the word. I heard the word, but I didn't repent when I heard the word. Oh, not in Acts that I just read to you or quoted to you, but I was one who had heard. I knew what repentance meant, but I never repented. And now I'm in hell. People used to say, some of them, a loving God wouldn't send someone to hell. Not a loving God. Well, God didn't send me to hell. I sent my own self there because I rejected his way. Tell him, preacher, hell is real. Heaven is real. Lazarus is comforted. I am tormented. Tell them, preacher, that heaven and hell are real. Listen to me today. In verse 21, oh, what a wonderful scene. In verse 21, you have Lazarus literally being born away by the angels. Oh, what a wonderful thing that was, and carried into what we call paradise. Paradise. And I say it, verse 21, I meant verse number 22. And it came to pass that a beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom at time would have been what we would call heaven. It was a holding place. And you had two compartments. One would have been paradise. The other one would have been hell. Paradise is no longer in existence. We understand that, and I don't want to get off into it, but paradise is no longer in existence now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is a real place. Don't you let anybody tell you we make our own heaven here on this earth, or we make our own hell here on this earth. They're liars. We have a very, not only reliable, we have an infallible source that tells us that heaven is real. And those who will go to heaven are those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And those who will go to hell are those who have rejected him. Heaven and hell, they are real places, real places. When D.L. Moody was rushed home to Massachusetts after he had had a sudden illness during a Western crusade, and he was transported home, and while he was home, eventually he started going out, and as he was leaving this life, he was speaking to his son, and his son had these words recorded, which has, of course, been passed down, and here's what D.L. Moody said. He said, "Earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." And he died. See, my Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When Stephen was being stoned and as his life was exiting his body, Stephen says, "I see heaven open." He said, "And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Hey, heaven, it's real. It's real. It's real. But yet, conversely, hell is real. God said he has no death, no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Death for a person who dies without Jesus Christ is horrifying. I'm not able to speak directly to the man in hell, but I have his words. I have an infallible source. I have the word of God. And the word of God tells me there is a heaven. The word of God tells me that there is a hell. Jesus said it's better for a man to literally pluck out his eye, chop off his hand, etc., and enter into life, or chop off his foot. It's better to enter into life halt or maimed or blind than having two eyes, two hands, two feet to be cast in the hell fire. As I've told you before, Jesus was not trying to teach self-mutilation, but what he was doing was he was shocking his hearers into the realization that there's no physical suffering on earth that could be compared to the torments of an eternal literal hell. An interview from hell. An interview from hell. I've got to ask one more question before we close the interview. Sir, what else can you tell us? What else can you tell us? Well, preacher, I've told you that death can catch you off guard. It did. I told you that heaven and hell are actually real. I'm experiencing it. Here's the last thing I want to tell you, preacher. Do your best to keep people from coming to this place of torment. Preacher, do your best to keep people from coming to this place of torment. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 27 and verse 28. Luke 16, verse 27 and verse 28. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. If not, they're coming also into this place of torment, lest they come." Sir, can you elaborate on that statement just a little bit? Preacher, I didn't want my five brothers to come to this place where I am. And I don't want anybody else to come to this place where I am. This place is a place of torment.
torment. I've been here a long time. I've been here a long time, preacher. There's no day here. It's just all night. All night, preacher. I don't know what it is to look at a ray from the sun. I don't know what it is to see a star twinkle. I don't know what it is to see the day. It's all night, preacher. This place has a flame, and this flame is burning us, but it gives off no light. This place is horrible, preacher. Preach the word. Try to keep people from coming here, preacher. Tell the people in fellowship and other places that you go and on the streets, do your best to keep people from coming here, preacher. Tell them, preacher. Tell them, preacher. Tell them, preacher. I don't want anyone to come here. No one to come here. Tell them, preacher. Tell them. People, please listen to me. I've done all I can do today to tell you that death can catch you off guard. I've done my best today to tell you that heaven and hell are real. I want to challenge you. Do your best to keep people from going to hell. Do your best. Some of you got family members. Get on the phone and talk to them. Invite them to the house of God if they're around. You work on them. Give them a gospel tract. You witness. Do whatever you can. You write a letter, whatever it can. Get the gospel to them. Don't think they're okay. Don't think they're okay. Your children need to be saved. They're going to go to the same hell that this rich man that we interviewed today is in. If they don't get saved, they're going to the same hell. Sometimes what we look at and we say it's just a stage. No, it's just a revelation. It reveals what's going on in the heart. It is time that parents get a burden from their children, a burden for their spouses, a burden for their family members. It's time that we determine by God's grace that we're going to share the gospel with a lost and with a dying world. We have to do what we can to try to keep people from going to hell. There was a man that I spoke with. I've told the story before. There was a man that I spoke with before, myself and Brother Bill, who's now in heaven. Spoke with this gentleman on a Thursday morning. Did everything I could. I said, listen, I took him through the plan of salvation, Romans Road. I sat there with him, and I said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? No, preacher. No, 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 no. He said, I'm going to get saved. He said, but not now. He said, not now. He said, this was a Thursday morning. He said, I'm coming to church on Sunday. I will make you a promise. He said, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Well, you know how we do. You quote all the scriptures that you do. You know, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You paraphrase it. Tomorrow is not promised to you. What is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. He wouldn't receive Christ as his Savior. That was Thursday morning. Thursday night, he went over to his girlfriend's house. She took a knife, plunged it in his chest, and he went out into a Christless eternity. He thought he had plenty of time, but death came suddenly. He knows now the stark reality that hell is real because he's experiencing it as we speak. Yet I could tell you, and I won't take the time, of people that I've taken down the Romans Road, and they've received Christ as their Savior, and now are in heaven. Well, I'll just tell you one. Same person, Brother Bill and myself, sitting in this man's living room. This man's name was Richard Boston. I took the Word of God, and I opened the Word of God, showed him how to receive Christ as his Savior. Brother Richard received, well, he's brother then, but he wasn't then. He received Christ as his Savior. Many of you remember him. Came out, joined the church, got faithful, served God, went out soul winning, etc. He's in heaven today. One is in hell because he rejected. The other is in heaven today because he received. Here is what I'm telling you. Those of us who are saved, we need to get a new view of what hell is like with this story. I'm going to close. There was a man named Charles Peace of England. Charles Peace, he was a violent man, a cruel man, a caustic man. And this man did some atrocities in that area. Well, finally, the authorities caught up with him. He was sentenced to die. On the day of his death, you had a number of the prison officials, reporters, and others who came there at his cell. And when he was open, they had a chaplain who was walking in front of him. And that chaplain, and this was early in the morning, and that chaplain had a book that he was reading from. And as he was walking and others were around, and Mr. Pence was behind him, and this chaplain was reading some scriptures about heaven and some scriptures about hell, and he was mumbling and yawning his way through those scriptures that he was reading. And they said that after a while, the chaplain felt a tap on his shoulder, and the chaplain turned around, and Mr. Pence said, "Do you believe what you're reading?" And the chaplain said, "Well, I think I do." And Mr. Pence just stared at him. And here's what they wrote down, the ones who were there, Mr. Pence's words, and I will give you his words. Mr. Pence said, "I do not share your faith." In other words, he doesn't believe in what he's saying. He said, "But if I believed what you say you believe, then although England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would crawl the length and breadth of it on hand and knee and think paying worthwhile just to save a single soul from this eternal hell of which you speak." What an indictment. He's saying, if I believe that, I'd crawl on broken glass just to get one person saved. What an indictment upon all of us. We close the interview. "Sir, could you tell us what you said to us once again? I've told you, death can catch you off guard. Heaven and hell are actually real. And do your best to keep people from coming to this place." Let's bow for prayer.